Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, Managing Editor of Reader Views in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We record this show every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Tonight's topic is Kickstart Your Memoir, and our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Jane Saylor of JaneSaylor.com. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is AuthorsAccess.com. Coming soon, our podcast will be heard on a new radio station, AuthorsView.com. Please check our website for updates. Now tonight, we'll be speaking with author, personal life coach, and publisher Jane Saylor. In 2001, Jane was asked by the Plymouth Council on Aging to develop a life journaling class for senior citizens in the community. Since this time, Jane has taught in all over southeastern Michigan, including Plymouth, Wixom, Northville, and Canton Senior Center, as well as its member of Toastmasters International, and often attends the National of Michigan. Now, as a member of the local poetry community, Jane has created many chapbooks of her own work, as well as being hired out to produce chapbooks for others, which are sold throughout the local poetry. Jane's most recent book, a wonderful how-to book entitled The Road You've Traveled, How to Journal Your Life, chronicles the lesson plans she developed for you. It is available from AuthorHouse.com, from the author herself, and in Plymouth, the bookseller. Now, Jane's community work is well documented in local news, including the Journal, Observer, and Detroit Free Press. She received an associate's degree in liberal arts and was on the dean's list at Schoolcraft College, with focus on arts and philosophy. She continues to attend Schoolcraft, as well as taking poetry performance classes, attending writing retreats, art classes, and enrichment courses. Now, I first met Jane at the Holistic Health Festival in Livonia in August of 2006. And I was immediately convinced that she had a great thing going with helping seniors get their lives in action in print. And I'm very happy to say hello to this week's special guest, Jane Saylor. Good evening, Jane.
Good evening. Thank you. It's so wonderful to have the opportunity to be on this call tonight.
Jane, the title of your talk today is Kickstart Your Memoir. Now, first of all, let's start right from the beginning. What is the difference between a memoir and an autobiography?
There really is no difference, I believe, between a memoir and an autobiography. What I suggest is that people just need to write about their life. It doesn't matter what you call it. It doesn't matter how you do it. What is important is that you do it. The books that I have help people to journal their life, even if they've never journaled a day in their life. So the most important thing is to have the memories down, not only for your family, for future generations, but it doesn't take long for people to realize that they're really doing this for themselves.
And when you say for themselves, what would be the purpose of for journaling for themselves?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons why you would want to journal for yourself. And this the process will help not only senior citizens, the process also helps people of all ages. And the reason I say that is because when we have a perspective of something when we're young. Something happens to us, we hold a certain perspective on a situation, and we could go for the rest of our lives and still hold this same perspective until we sit down, write about it, and in the forum that I offer, read about it aloud as well. And there's a lot of catharticism that comes through just reliving situations. You're able to look at something that you held a perspective on as a younger person and say, oh, well, now I get it. You're able to look at it with adult eyes now and see it from a different perspective, which will help you to move forward, truly.
So what kind of experiences are you talking about?
Well, let's see. There have been a lot of times when in the groups that people have been, you know, it's one thing to actually write the information about your life, but when in the groups I give the people the opportunity to read what they've written, and there's a lot of people who have said to me, I just can't get through reading this. They're literally brought to tears with something that they thought that they had dealt with years ago, something that they thought that they'd come to terms with, something that, you know, happened to them that was very traumatic for them or very personal to them. And then when they read it aloud, the whole emotions come back out. And then after that, when they can have that emotion, look around the room and see that the sky didn't come crumbling down because they spoke this out loud, they're still just as wonderful of a person now as they were 10 minutes ago before they spoke this information. And there's really a lot of freedom that comes through doing that.
So is there a difference between writing for, what I'm hearing you say is journaling for your own personal purpose? Now, let's take this a step further and talk about publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the difference in writing something for your own journaling purposes or writing something that actually eventually will be published?
Well, that is a very personal perspective, is what you, how you envision it. And I encourage people to go, they feel, what do they envision? When I talk to groups, I ask them, well, how do you envision your finished book to be? Do you envision it being finished as a simple notebook that you're going to pass out to your family? Or do you envision it to be a book in the bookstore? The one thing that, regardless if you're doing it for the bookstore or doing it for yourself or whatever reason, the one thing that you can't do is write, in this situation, don't write for your audience. When you're journaling and whether you're going to publish it later or not, at this point, don't write for any audience. You lose your perspective of being able to journal and you start restricting what you want to put in there then. I encourage people, just because you write it doesn't mean it needs to be in your finished copy.
When you talk
go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, when you talk about journaling, maybe just explain to the listening audience what your perception of journaling is.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people feel that, you know, you write something down, you journal it, you write it down, and it's done. You write about it, and you don't go back to it. I teach that is not the case. When you write it down, what you're doing is you're trying to set yourself up to win through journaling. You can, even if it is through writing about your life, when you write about something, you don't just write about the event that happened. What you want to do is write about the event that happened, and then you add, and that made me feel blank. And you start adding some feelings in there so that when you reread it, you have the opportunity to get back in touch with that feeling, whether it was good or bad, whether it was something you want to happen again or not happen again, and learn from that. But it's through the feeling that you will start getting places through journaling.
So you're talking about concentrating. So you take an event, and then you concentrate on the feeling. Is that it? Or what is it? Is it an event, or what should people be journaling about?
You know, it could be anything. With my book, the first section of the book talks about getting your book, your notebook set up. And I call it a travel log. Getting your travel log set up in notebook form, and having your life divided up in order to accommodate our life jumping from place to place, our minds don't work chronologically, so we can't expect to write about our life chronologically either.
So I'm just kind of stuttering here for a minute because I'm trying to kind of get the perspective on journaling. I journal, and it's a daily journaling exercise that I have, and basically what I put in there are what my plans are for today, what I'm feeling the first thing when I get up in the morning. I look at what happened yesterday, and I write about that and get into the feelings. Now, I'm just having kind of a hard time getting past the fact that this is my personal journal and how I'm going to take that into a production of a book that I'm going to put in the bookstore.
Okay, here's the deal. Is the book actually talks about not journaling from a day-to-day perspective. The book talks about taking your life in the past and writing about it. I've taught a woman who is 89 years old who has never journaled a day in her life, never written about anything a day in her life, and she came to me and asked me, you know, how can I remember what I did? How can I remember what I did 90 years ago? I can't even remember what I did yesterday. But that's not the point. It's about getting the information down. And when you read it out loud or when you write it down, it's important to get those feelings in there. People, your family is going to want to read how this made you feel, how you lived through a certain situation, how you handled something that happened in the economy, something that happened, your political views of something. People who read this in the future are going to benefit once you start putting feeling involved into it. They'll be able to look at it and say, for instance, oh, Aunt Irene lived through this situation, and look at how she handled it. She was so strong, and she handled it this way. And if she can handle that, surely I can handle my situation.
Uh-huh.
Or there might be something in the way that you handled your situation that they might look at it and say, oh boy, you know, she did this, and you know that was back then. But I'll bet that I can change that a little bit to either suit my views or suit the time that it is now, and I'll bet that would work for me. So it helps them to get some problem solving as well.
Now, when you say this is you're hearing this for an elderly person. Is this it? That to write their experiences to pass down to the generations below them?
Or? Absolutely, but
okay.
Absolutely. I mean, for one thing, in my opinion, everybody has a story. Everybody has something that they should write about. Life lessons are meant to be shared, not to be kept to oneself. Many, many years ago, wisdom was passed from generation to generation through tribal events, and that's just the way life was. But it's not like that anymore. And the life experiences that we learn don't get passed down to the next generation, and so they, too, come through life just flying by the seat of their pants like we did. If we can get back to passing down our wisdom and the things that helped us, that'll help the future generations come up and have some more problem-solving skills, have some ideas of what works and what doesn't work in a given situation, and be able to move forward.
Yeah, Jane, I'm completely in agreement with you on that. I've been working with some, Vietnam veterans, and they have a perspective that really gives us an insight into what's going on in today's conflict because they've been through it all.
Absolutely.
I was wondering if you could give us an idea of one of the writing exercises you might use with the group to jog the memory. Are there specific exercises?
Yes, actually. As I mentioned earlier, the first chapter talks about getting your travel log set up. The rest of the chapters in the book all are memory sparkers, different ways that it would help us to recall memories that happened in our life. And because everybody's mind works a little bit differently, one chapter might help someone more than another. Somebody's mind might think, oh, this way really works for me. I really connect with this. Where another chapter, they go through the examples and they go, you know what, this really wasn't me. I'm not getting this one at all. But that's why I offer so many different ways so that we all can do it and we all can get the benefit of journaling. Back to the examples, though. One of the chapters is about map making. And map making is simply this. It starts out with writing down the various addresses that you've lived at throughout your life. Then start with the very first bedroom that you can remember having in the very first house, the very first address that you've written down. The first thing you do is draw your four walls. We're going to map out our bedroom just like a architect does a blueprint of a house, you know, on graph paper.
Uh-huh.
So you'll draw the four walls of your bedroom. That's all you want to start with is your bedroom. You always want to start with where you are to start getting your memories out like this. So you start with your bedroom. You draw the four walls. The next thing you do is you think, let's see, my bedroom door was here, my closet was here, my window was here. You kind of just sketch them into the space. Okay, now we start talking about the furniture. My bed was here, a dresser was here, and my nightstand, draw the main thing. Then we go a little bit deeper. Can you remember what was on the walls? Let's see, I had this poster of David Cassidy. I had, you know, this knick-knack on my dresser from some memorable event that I went to. There's all these different things that you kind of start placing in the room then and drawing little things. And when you get these memories, you grab your travel log and start jotting these little memories down. And there's a process about jotting down your memories where you just write down one or two sentences at this point, just enough to go back. When you get back to it, you know what it is that you were going to write about. So getting back to the map making, then we start talking about what's in your closet. Open up your closet door. Start breathing, meditating. Put yourself in this room visually. Can you remember when you go open your closet, can you remember some of the clothes that you wore when you lived in this home? Okay, can you remember what sound you heard when you slept? Can you remember some of the smells that you could smell, maybe from your mother baking or the fresh breeze outside? Were there apple blossoms outside your window? Speaking of window, in your visualization, stand up and look out that window. what did you see out the window, and write about that. When you start journaling and writing about all these little details, the other things just start flooding back like the domino effect.
Yeah, as I said,
you know, you start writing, and I encourage people, I want you to write about the good, the bad, and the ugly. They say, ooh, you want me to write about even the bad things? I definitely want you to write about the bad things. Because just because you write it doesn't mean that it needs to go in your finished copy. But you will get a lot of catharticism through it. And you have no idea, while writing about this so-called bad memory, what kind of wonderful things that you can get out of this that will change your perspective of this so-called bad memory. Because perhaps it was just a bad memory as a child, where now as you look at it in adult eyes, you're able to gain that whole new perspective that I spoke of in the first place.
Yep, that, I can see that now. In fact, you know, as you were talking, I was kind of visualizing the bedroom where I grew up and the color of the carpet and the smell of the closet, and it was all sort of coming back to me.
Okay, so I want to know, Victor, I want to know what poster was on your wall.
Oh, it's pretty geeky. I'm afraid it was all Star Trek.
Mine really wasn't David Cassidy. It was more of a Donny Osmond.
Well, mine was Elvis Presley.
Oh, okay.
I'm from that era.
Exactly. Fun.
So I wonder if you can share some of the stories or talk about one of the people you've worked with and how their story affected them, written out.
Well, I've had several people that have completely finished their life journaling, their book, as far as what they want to go, you'll never truly be done because you still have a life to live. And that also is another section that I ask people to put at the end of their travel log, is a section for the future, for your future aspirations, things you still have to attain, things you hope for your family, things you hope for your children, things you hope for the world. So there's so much more that, you know, you'll never truly be done journaling your life. When you think, you know, I'm 45, when you think if I was truly going to write about the last 45 years in such great depth, I mean, it could really take me another 45 years just to write about my last 45 years. But that's why it's important, because you can grab a hold of some certain memories and then you start picking and choosing which ones are the ones that really touch me right now that I want to write about. I'm not sure I answered your question, though.
Yes, I think you did.
Okay, wonderful.
So I guess I was wondering, you know, if specific stories that had come through. I mean, maybe someone who had been to war or, you know, been through the times that we read about in history books, you know, maybe the civil rights era or something, and the new perspective that you get learning about how it was for them.
There you go. That was the question that I didn't answer. I apologize. Well, for instance, one of the women that I'm teaching right now, beautiful elderly woman, she was actually one of the first. She's very big on women's rights, always has been. She was one of the first people to receive literary awards, one of the first women to receive a literary award. She got her master's degree back in the early 70s and has just really taken her life and has touched so many others. And, you know, to me, that's what life is about, is how many lives have you touched and what can you say, how do you feel about the lives that you touched, and how can you imagine that the other people feel about the lives that you've touched? There was one gentleman that I worked with that was from another country over off the Mediterranean Sea. He grew up there. It was prior to communism coming into play. He was talking about his family and how his father passed away just prior to communism coming into play in the country. And then communism came through and just absolutely wiped everything out, took his family's farm and only allotted them this much in cattle, this much in feed, and you have to work and you have to do this and this and this. And this man, the perception that he shared was just so touching, because he was saying it was hard for him at the time because he actually was glad that his father had already passed. And he said to be mourning his father and then, on the other hand, be glad that his father had already died, he said, was so black and white, so opposite of each other, that it was very hard for him to hold those feelings. And I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I asked him, you know, why do you feel this way? Why do you feel that, you know, you were glad that your father had already passed? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, because my father was one of the most successful farmers in the area. And to the people who came in and took over the country, people who were the most successful were the people that they feared the most. Those were the people that they felt had the knowledge to be able to overthrow them and create groups that would overthrow this. And so these were the first people that were actually killed.
Wow.
He said had his father not died first, his father would have been one of the first to die. What a tragic thing to have to live with. And the emotions that he talked about through his journaling were so touching and very, you know, it gave all of us around the table a new view of life. I mean, if you can imagine that, it was just amazing.
Yeah,
and, you know, I can't even, there have been so many wonderful stories and so many funny stories and, you know, scary stories and, you know, glorious stories, so many glorious things that have happened to people that I, you know, and that's really one of the things I want people to do is, you know, through writing about some of these things, you could come up with something that's completely a glorious, glorious memory that you forgot about.
That's wonderful work that you're doing. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to just mention that we're listening to a podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. You can hear us every Thursday at 8 Eastern Daylight. We'll be back on the air next Thursday when our topic will be creating a media kit that works. And our special guest will be joining us, Kate Bandos. Now, Jane, I had another question. A lot of people, these are first time they've ever been writing or writing for the first time in 10 or 20 years. How do you go about, you know, teaching them enough editing skills in a short amount of time so that they can really improve the communication quality of their work?
Well, see, here's the deal with that, too. People will give me all kinds of reasons why not to write instead of giving me reasons why they should. So for every reason that somebody tells me why not to write, I can throw out 10 reasons why they should.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to have any writing skills to be able to do this. You don't have to have, you know, you'll hear a lot of people say before you can write, you have to find your voice. You have to find a certain voice to write in. That's in this particular situation, when you're writing about your life, I believe that's a bunch of hooey. Because you already have a voice and it works very well. You've been using it your whole life. If you can relate a story that happened to you, if you can talk about it, you can write about it. You only have to write what you would speak. You don't have to have anything special. If you can speak it, you can write it.
Well, that makes complete sense now that you say it.
Yes.
Suppose that you get a work that you think is particularly good. Do you have a source that you would refer them off to in terms of, you know, getting their words into print?
I don't have a particular source. What ends up happening is, you know, and the people in the group in the group form end up being a tremendous resource for each other as well. There was a story that someone wrote about their life where, you know, someone across the table said, wow, that's a great article. You know, you should send that into such and such a newspaper. Or, you know, I'll bet this magazine would really think that was an interesting perspective on it. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get your word out there, be it it's just a magazine article about, you know, about an event in your life. Or, you know, if you envision your book to be a book on the bookshelf, you know, there's a lot of different reasons to write, just as many reasons as there are people. Everybody's different, and I just encourage everybody to do it. And I, you know, cut to the chase and tell them there are no excuses why not to do it. There are only tons of benefits why you should.
Sure, and I guess there's always blogging, too, if they feel like they're up to the technological challenge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of new technology that can be putting things as far as blogs and creating a website. Or, you know, I've spoken for genealogical groups. I've spoken for scrapbooking groups because they do a lot of, you know, writing about the past and stuff and you know, women's groups. So, you know, there's a lot of different groups that can benefit. To be truthful, most people could benefit from writing about their life.
Yeah, and I was just thinking of genealogical pursuits. Do you find that the people are, you know, opening up to other people in their family to find out more about their family history, or are they going to the library to do research, or how does genealogy really get them going?
Oh, all of the above. I'll tell you what. I had somebody, sadly, she just passed away last month, but she had come to my group a few years ago, and for the first time, she's been coming ever since, but she came the first time. She was very big with genealogy, had so much of her family background, had traced her roots back to Ireland before her. I mean, it was way back in the late 1700s she had traced her roots back to. She had, it was just phenomenal, all the information she had. But that's how she, I mean, she was a technical writer. She was a technical book writer is what she was. So she came to the group saying, you know, I want some more. This is all great, but this is all fact. I said, yeah, it is fact. And so we start encouraging her to get some feelings, like I talked about earlier, get some feelings involved in your writing. And so as she started writing more about some of the people in her life that she did know, perhaps her great-grandmother, her grandmother, or her mother, or even herself, she was able to start putting some feelings involved with this. And it's so sweet sitting around a table with all these people who I've encouraged through the years. You know, get some emotion in that. Get some emotion in that so that we can really feel, you know. It's wonderful that you talk about the experience of having your child. I want to talk about how you felt being pregnant. I want to know how you felt waking up in the morning with morning sickness. I want to know how you felt going to the doctor or not being able to go to the doctor because this was the time. Or, you know, having your baby, you know, born at home. I want to know those kind of things. I want to know how you felt. So after I start pushing this for a period of time, these people, when new people start coming into the group, these same people, when somebody new comes in and starts reading their work and there's no emotions in it, most of the time I don't even have to say anything anymore because these people who I've already taught say, oh, you need to get some emotion in this. And I said, yeah, you do. Exactly what she said. So really, it's really through the emotion that we can really start gaining some new perspectives and seeing things differently and helping future generations.
You know, that's true, Jane. In my spare time, I do family research, and my husband's grandfather wrote one page in his handwriting, probably about a year before he passed away, and it was actually, he wrote it only on one page, and it was his life story. But you know, that's such a precious piece of paper. It is so precious because it talks about how he came from Scotland. He was only 14 years old, and how he worked on the ship that, you know, brought him over, and how he then, when he landed in Canada, what he did. And it was only one piece of paper, one page, but it was so powerful. We just cherish that.
I was going to say, and how do you feel about having that piece of paper?
Oh, I'm sitting here with goosebumps when I'm thinking about it, because that is such an important piece of paper. And being in family research, I wish I could have more pieces of paper like that.
Absolutely, Irene, and that's really summed up one of the other things that I tell people. You know, I don't let people give me the excuse that, oh, I haven't, nobody wants to read about my life. I haven't led an important life. I call everyone on that. Yes, you have, and your life is just as important as the Queen of England. Your life has touched just as many people as the Queen of England. Your life is just as important. And when they start saying things like this, and they say, oh, I don't even know what I would write about. Okay, well, think about this. How would you feel to have something of your mother's or your father's that they wrote by hand, even if it's just a recipe card that your mother wrote? How would you feel to have a recipe card in your mother's or your grandmother's or your great-grandmother's handwriting? Would you rewrite that and throw that away? Probably not.
Exactly.
You know, you would cherish this, and you would, I mean, it would just really be a precious piece. So no matter what people can, no matter how much people can get down, as you said, it was just a one page that your father got down, or your father-in-law. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how much. What matters is get it out, get it down.
Yes, I'm sure it was very cathartic for him, too, because he did mention about when his parents both died and he was 14 years old, he left Scotland and he left. And, I mean, he didn't really write about his feelings, but there was obviously something there. We can almost read between the lines.
Sure.
He would put
sure.
feelings, but he was not a man of feelings, so that he would talk about. Now, let's just take this then to the younger generation, the young people, in their busy lives, and they don't think that they have anything to write about. But from listening to you, a 10-year-old would have a lot to write about.
You got that right.
Give us some pointers how we can encourage our children or our grandchildren to write.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the biggest problems with not just the generation coming up, but even our generation, the whole what I like to call the me generation instead of the we generation. And we need to get back to the we generation. And the reason in the me generation is because we don't have the self-confidence in ourselves. We don't have the confidence in ourselves. We're so concerned about what other people think. And what writing about your life does for people of all ages, especially youngsters, it lets them know that, you know, we've all done things. And there's nothing. Your life is your life, and it's so precious and it's so important. It gives kids self confidence. It gives them, they start understanding their purpose. When you write about your life and you start seeing patterns of your life that you always have been, I always have been this way. I always have been a writer. I've been writing since I was 8 years old. I have always been interested in the way people think. Why does this person think this way and this person thinks a different way? In the same family, why does a brother and a sister have such different perspectives of the same family life growing up? Philosophy I've been interested in, religion and how the different religions connect with each other. And you know, it's all about us being one and understanding that we're all connected. When you can get kids to understand that we're all connected, you know, the bullying slows down, lack of self-confidence begins to dissipate. They start seeing themselves in a whole different realm when they can see that we're all connected, that when I hurt this person, when it all's said and done, I'm hurting me. So it's so wonderful to be able to be helping people in this way. I'm so grateful.
Well, I can understand. I mean, to be able to have a group of people and to encourage them to write about their lives and their stories, and this is something that will be read generations down. I mean, you know, being in researching family history, I know how important that is. Now, Jane, how about writing about others in the family? It's sort of going away from the journaling for our own feelings and our own experiences and our own life. But how about kind of going into another direction about writing, let's say, about our sister or brother or our parents? Do you have any pointers into that type of writing?
You know, again, there are so many different views that people have. One person might say, this is my perspective, and I only want to write from my perspective. I only want to write about my life. I don't want to write about my sister's life or my father's life or my mother's life or my grandparents. I want to write about my life. Wonderful. Write about your life. So the next person might say, well, you know, I really want to write about my sister's life as well. Wonderful. Do that. Well, then somebody else might say, you know what, I get my brothers and sisters' perspective of this situation, so I can incorporate that into what I write as well. So I don't get just my perspective of it. I get some other viewpoints as well. Wonderful. Write about that. So, again, there's no wrong way. It's a very personal thing, and that's why I want to encourage people to really sit down and think about what you want. What is it that you want? Not what does everybody else want. This is your life. This is your time. This is your time to be selfish. You're writing about your life. There's a lot of benefits that you're going to get. There's a lot of benefits your family's going to get out of it. Take the time and do it. It doesn't take too long to, you know, and especially the way that I have everything laid out for you, where I, you know, suggest to lay out your travel log, your notebook. You can sit down and write in 5 minutes over coffee. Sitting down at the breakfast table instead of reading the newspaper, and you get up and you say, you know, I'd really like to write about something this morning. So you open up your travel log and you pick something out, and you mark off, okay, well, I'm going to write about this one today. And you mark it off and you start with that one or two sentences, and then you just start expounding on the story. And again, you're not really writing a story yet. This has to go through a lot of times of, you know, you'll write it, and this is just getting the memories out the first time. You just want to get the memories out. It doesn't matter what order you have it in. It doesn't matter if it's legible. It doesn't. The only one that needs to read this at this point is you. It doesn't matter if it's grammatically correct or spell checked or anything at this point. It just needs to be down so that later you can go back and you can look at it and you can say, okay, well, this goes here and this goes here, and I'm going to kind of change this. And, you know, I talk about that in my book as well, how to go through and create another draft of it and get to the point of from handwriting to having it typed in your notebook. But I do encourage people to write by hand as opposed to typing on the computer. The biggest reason in that is when we type, unless we have been typing our whole lives, and typing has become second nature to us, if we can type and our minds can wander, that's wonderful. Most of us, the majority of us, type, and when we type, we're thinking about where the keys are. We're thinking about this period. We're thinking about that capital. We're thinking about the spell check came up and that's wrong. That's not what we want. We want to be able to get these memories out down on paper so that other memories can come bubbling up and write them down as well. So when we're writing by hand, but writing by hand is second nature to us. We start writing by hand, and then our minds are free to wander and start grabbing some new memories. And so when you find yourself off on a tangent in your thoughts when you're writing about this memory, you train yourself, okay, I'm going to stop this, I'm going to flip a few pages and put this new memory where it belongs, this one or two sentences where it belongs, then I'm going to get back to where I left off and finish what I was getting at, and maybe a new memory might come up that I can add someplace else.
Wow, you know, I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, so I journal in mornings, and you've given me so many different ideas of what I can actually add to my journaling.
Oh, good.
And you know, as I'm listening here and I'm thinking, well, I can actually go back. And one thing that really struck me was when you talked about going to the first bedroom or the bedroom and, you know, what furniture was there, what poster was on the wall, that kind of thing. And I really like that. And I'm certainly going to go back to that. Gosh, Jane, we've come to the end, but what I want you to talk about, I know it just goes by so quickly, what I'd like to talk about is you're having a seminar coming up on the 11th of April.
Yes.
Yes. Tell our audience about it.
Yes. It is called Holding You Back. We all have the little voice in our head that, you know, it's the little voice of people that we have deemed authority for one reason or another through our lives. And, you know, at the time in our life when that voice was there, it served us. But at the moment when we realize that voice is somebody else's voice, that it's saying negative things to us, it doesn't serve us anymore, and we need to change it. And that's what's holding you back does, is it's a presentation to be able to show people what is holding them back, what kind of thought processes do we have that are keeping us from attaining our goals and being successful in all the areas of our life, not just our business, not just our personal life, but our business, our physical life, our personal life, our intellectual life, and our emotional life. There's so many aspects of who we are, and are we really successful if we're only successful in one area and not the others? Are we truly successful? Do we really truly feel successful? So I want to be able to bring this so that people can start seeing what they can do. Your past is just that. You've heard people say a good indicator of your future is to look at your past. Well, I don't think that's true. A good indicator of your past is to look at where you are right now, because now you're aware of what your past has done. Okay, now change it. Now you can be somebody completely different. You can change your thought process, because we all do have control of our thoughts, and this is what I want to be able to show people.
Great. Wow. I wish I was in Plymouth, Michigan at that time. That's on April the 11th, and through...
I wish you were, too.
through your center, the Grand Scheme Enrichment Center, which is on South Main in Plymouth, Michigan. Yes. And, of course, they can contact you through your website at janesaylor.com. That's Jane, S as in Sam, AYLOR.com. And you have all kinds of information. I went to your website earlier, and there's all kinds of stuff to look at. Gosh, Jane, thanks again. This has been a real inspiration for me, particularly, you know, I did write a memoir and I had it published, And
good for you.
Yeah, it's it was quite a cathartic experience.
I'll bet.
But just talking to you and listening to all you have to say, I'm about maybe ready to make another change, a shift here in my journaling, and who knows what that will, you know, what the next thing will
good.
Be.
Good. Let me know.
I will. Thank you. And again, the audience is janesaylor.com, and you can contact her and find out more about what she does,
yeah.
And also enroll in the workshop, What's Holding You Back. It sounds great.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're quite welcome. And you've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where published authors get successful. We'll be back on the air Thursday, April 5th, 2007, when our topic will be creating a media kit that works. And our special guest will be Kate Bando. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson of Austin, Texas, signing off.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Wolfman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.